Okay, Parshas Vayigash. Right. Okay. I'll start off with what we said in the past. Vayigash Eilov Yehuda. So the Gra finds a nice remez. The trup on the verse Vayigash Eilov is a kadm of Azla. And Yehuda, the trup is a revi. Vayemer Biadoin is a munach zarka, a munach sega. Says the Gra, Vayigash Eilov Yehuda, the fourth brother. Yehuda was the fourth brother. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Revi, the fourth brother, kadm of Azla, went forth. Yehuda was the one that went forth towards Yosef. Munach zarka, munach sega. Why dafki Yehuda? Because Yehuda was in danger of being zarka, being thrown away. Sega from the Amskula, from being part of an Eisrael. Because Yehuda made it tonight with his father. He said, if I don't bring him, if I don't bring him back to you, v'chatasi lo'avi kol yamin. He loses Ayom Haba. So since Yehuda was bound by such a strong tie, it was dafka Yehuda who went forth and was ready to defend Binyamin and to argue with Yosef. The famous Al Shech HaKadosh, which we said over many times, but it's worthwhile, it's a beautiful pshat in the pasuk. What happened to Yehuda? Yehuda has a change of heart. Between the end of last week's parasha and this week's parasha, Yehuda's attitude changes tremendously. At the end of last week's parasha, if you look at Perek Mem Dalet, Pasuk Tezayin, what should we say? How can we justify ourselves? Our sins. We're slaves to my master. Us and Gama Shinimsa Gavi Miyodai, the one that the Gavi was found in his hand. Yehuda is very humble, subservient before Yosef. And suddenly, Tupsukum later, at the beginning of this week's parasha, Vayiga Sheilov Yehuda, Vayon Biyadoini, Yedabino Avdecha, Avdecha Dova, Vayicha Apcha, and Rashi learns that Yehuda was angry, and he threatens Paro, you're a guy of Zvein and Mekayim, Kamaycha Kafaroi, if you bother me, I'm gonna end up killing you. It sounds Yehuda suddenly becomes very upset. Tremendous change in attitude takes place. Tupsukum later, what happened to Yehuda? Zog the Al Shech HaGadosh. And Pashas said, and the Pashas Miketz, what did Yehuda say? Yehuda said, Man Noimel Adoini, Man Adarber, Man Tanok, Holakim Motzes Avoin Avodecha, Hinenu Avodim Ladoini. We're all Avodim to my master. When Yehuda thought they would all be taken as Avodim, he thought it was a punishment for selling Yosef. He understood. All of the Shvatim deserve to be punished. They were all involved in the Mechira. Suddenly, Yosef answers back, the last Pasuk in Mikay says, oh, Chalilu Imi Asai Zois. Chas v'shom. That's not what I'm going to do. Ho'ish Asher Yimotze, Asher Nimsa, Gavi Yimiyado, Hu Yili Ovid. I'm only keeping Binyamin as an Eved, and everybody else goes with Shalom. Yehuda hears that. He says, wait a minute. This can't be an Einish for selling Yosef, because Binyamin wasn't there at the time of the Mechira. Binyamin was at home. Binyamin wasn't involved in the Mechira at all. And Binyamin is the only one being taken as an Eved. If that's the case, this is not a punishment for selling Yosef. The Melech Vayigash Eilov Yehuda. Yehuda goes on the attack and he confronts Yosef now that he understands that it can't be a punishment for selling Yosef. So learns the Al Shech HaKadosh. What happened to Yosef?
Joseph, when he said 11 of you were going to bow down the front.
Right.
So they got mad at him. They said he was going to be Sheker.
Right. Okay. Okay. I might be a little bit not in the order of the Sukkim because I think I wasn't too organized tonight. That it comes later on in the parasha, what happens? It comes suddenly Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. We have the famous pasuk in Perik Mem Hey, pasuk Gimel Vayoyme Yosef El Echa Vani Yosef Ha'oy Gavichai. Yosef says to his brothers, "I'm Yosef. Is my father still alive?" And this, that we said over the famous Beis Halevi, but it's a lesson that we have to repeat over and over again. Yosef says to his brothers, "Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. Ha'oy Gavichai, is my father still alive?" And the Gemara brings down Abba Kayim Bardala says, "Oy lanu miyem hadin, oy lanu miyem ha'teichacha. Oy to us from the day of judgment, from the day of teichacha." Yosef said a few words to his brothers, five words. Oy Yosef ha'oy avichai. I'm sorry, ni Yosef ha'oy avichai. V'ra'yachulecha. They can't answer him. They're embarrassed. Nothing what to say. Five words of musar, five words of rebuke, and the brothers are suddenly quiet. They don't have what to answer. Says Abba Karim Bardo, oh, what happens after 120 years? A person comes to Shemayim, Miyamadim Yamatachacha. With five words, all of a sudden the brothers are embarrassed to quiet them. Says the Beis Lady, what was the great Taichacha? What was the Taichacha? Why is it called Yema Taichacha? So the Taichacha is when you show a person that his whole cheshbin, everything in the din until now that he thought was right, you show him is completely wrong. His whole cheshbin is incorrect. What did Yehuda just say to Yosef? Yehuda says to Yosef, listen, how can I go up to my father to Yaakov? And Yomim is not with me. Perhaps I'll see the bear, the Shem Sasavi, I'll see the tragedy that will happen to my father if Yomim is not here. That's your taina. Zot Yosef, five words. Ani Yosef. I'm Yosef. Why don't you think of that about that when you sold me 22 years, you sold me, when he sold me 22 years ago. Why don't you think of that as well? Ha'oid avichai! Did you care about my father then? When you took me away, did you care about my father? Is my father still alive? If you were so concerned about how your father's going to react, why don't you think about that all along? Your whole taina falls off. Save Ben Yomin, let him go back home, because what will happen to Yaakov? Benavshai kashura benavshai. So the Yosef, really? Ani Yosef, what about me? Ha'oid avichai, is my father still alive? With those five words, he took apart Yehuda's whole, taina. The chach is when you show a person his whole taina completely wrong. He continues to base a levi, the Mali Musa roll this in. What happens? A person comes after 120 years in Shemayim, and a person is asked, why don't you do this mitzvah? Why don't you learn more? Why don't you do my chesed? I couldn't, I was busy. Ah, for that you had time, and for this you couldn't find time. Why don't you give more tzedakah? You had money for this narishkeit, but to help out somebody need the money you didn't have, and so on and so on. When they show us each person, cheshbin, what he could have done, and how he should have done, and taina is an excuse, I didn't have the ability to do so. And they show him, you didn't have the ability to do so? You had the ability, look, you spent your money, you had the time. That's taichacha. That's what the person is afraid of the yom adin. I want him yom adin, I want him yom taichacha. The Maral says on this pasuk, "V'yachu echav ulanos oisai ki nevhalu miponov." They will embarrass miponov. What does the miponov mean? From before him, from his face. The Maral says, "The should have said ki nevhalu mimenu." They will embarrass from him. Miponov means from his face. They recognize a change in Yosef's face. They thought all along that Yosef was, you know, call him Yosef was jealous. Yosef caused jealousy. Yosef told their father Lashon Hara about them. They had an opinion of Yosef. Suddenly, Miponov, they saw his face in a different light. His whole face changed. Yosef here had a chance to take the Nekama against them. Yosef was the king, the ruler of Mitzrayim. He could have taken revenge against the brothers. And instead, Yosef doesn't. He reveals himself, and he treats the brothers properly. His whole face changed. Their whole image of Yosef, the way they pictured Yosef, the way they viewed Yosef, their whole image, the whole picture changed. His face was totally different than the way they pictured it. Than the way they pictured it. I saw today a story in the Wellsprings of Tyre, wrote in a nice story, Kinfal Miponov. There was a certain Rav, and in a certain town, Reb Chaim Zonnefeld said over the story, there was a Rav in a certain town, and one day the egg merchant, the person who sells eggs in the town, comes to the Rav's house with eggs dripping all over him. Eggs dripping all over him, and he's a Halloween. Big, he's a mess. And the Rav asks him, what happened? Why are you dripping eggs? And he says, because I was walking down the street and so-and-so bumped into me and he didn't like the way I was walking, I was going. He got upset and he knocked over my eggs and everything spilled all over me. And he says to the Rav, I want you to bring him to a din tire. He has to pay me for all the eggs that he broke because I can't sell any eggs today. I want you to bring him to a din tire. It happens to be that person who broke the eggs was the meister of the town, the one person nobody wanted to stop with. So the Rav was an Elohim Rav. He said to the Shamus, go call him right now. The Shamus says, but you know who he is. It's problem. Not worthwhile to start with him because he's only going to cause problems. Maybe we should forget about it. The Rav says, tell him right now that he has to come to my house. He's summoned to Besdin right now. Shamus finds him and he says to him, the Rav is summoning you to Besdin, you broke the egg merchant's eggs, he wants you to come and have a din tayrim. Who does the Rav think he is? I'm not going. You tell the Rav I'm not coming to any din Torah. The Shamus returns. The Rav tells the Shamus, go back again. I call him to a din Torah. Shamus goes back and he says, the Rav demands that you come to a din Torah now. Who do you think you are calling me to a din Torah? Gives the Shamus a slap. You tell the Rav I'm not coming. He goes back to the Rav. The Rav tells the Shamus, go back and tell him that I'm putting him into Chayim if he doesn't come. He's put into Chayim if he doesn't come. Shamus goes back. He says, if you don't come, the Rav is putting you into Chayim. Who does the Rav think he is? I'm not coming. Shabbos comes to shul. The Gabbai calls up this person for an aliyah, this Moisef for an aliyah. The Rav runs up to the Bima and he says, he's in Chayim, he's not allowed to have an aliyah. You're allowed to give a person who's been doing an aliyah down, you're not getting an aliyah. His blood starts to boil. Tells the rabbi, you're starting with me. You're starting with me. He, under his breath, he mumbles, just wait. I'll get my revenge. I'll get my chance. Okay. The kids of Shabbos goes by. And, okay. The Rav's Talmidim are very nervous and so on. The kids of the Rav's Talmidim have to take a trip that week. They have to travel out of town. And they get into the horse, the wagons, they're traveling, and on the way, one of the Talmidim looks and sees, uh-oh. Look who's straight right in front of us.
Mr.
Moisef is standing right in front of us. And we're headed for a head-on collision. We're going to be out. He's here. It's outside the city. Who knows what he could do to us? And the wagon gets closer and closer. And the Rav steps off the wagon. And he walks straight over to the Moisef. They meet each other. And the Talmidim are shivering. Who knows what's going to happen? And the Moisef says to the Rav, very strangely, give me permission to hit your Talmidim. I want to hit your Talmidim. And the Rav says, absolutely not. And the Moshe says, at least let me spit at them. Let me spit at them. The Rav says, absolutely, absolutely not. At least let me yell at them. Absolutely, absolutely not. The Moshe shakes the Rav's hand, and he says, I'm sorry. The Rav says, will you pay for the eggs that you broke? He agrees, says, we'll show him, and he walks away. Talmidim, I'll see them. Moifus, what happened? What happened? What happened? So they say to the Rav, what happened? The Rav says to them, Pasuk says, Kamayim panim panim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. Just like a person who looks in the water, the reflection in the water is the face that the water sees. The water reflects the face that looks at it. So too, a person, the way he thinks of another person, the way he acts towards another person reflects in the other person's behavior. If you're nice to somebody, he's nice back. If you think nicely about somebody, he thinks nicely about you. The Rav said, I saw this Moisa coming. I didn't know what to do. I said to myself, the only way to avoid a confrontation, I think it was schus for him, something nice about him. What schus can I think? That perhaps he was a tinuk shenishba, he didn't have a good upbringing, and that's why he is the way that he is. And I was dan l'kaf schus, that had he known better, he wouldn't have done it, and I thought good thoughts about him, his hatred towards me started to wane, started to lower down. Talmidim said, but if that's the case, why don't you want to hit us? He says, Poshe, because you hated him. We're all standing here. You had a terrible sinner towards him. So he felt that sinner. So he wanted to hit all of you, or to be spinning all of you, until I was able to calm him down. Kamayim partim upon him. The way a person feels towards somebody else is the way he feels back. And there's so many stories told over in this idea of Mayim partim upon him. Yosef's face, his face changed. The brothers saw in his face a face not of Kinna, a face not of Nekama, but they saw a face of Yosef. They were embarrassed from the face that they saw in Yosef. They looked at Yosef in a different light than they looked at beforehand. The Pasuk tells us later on, right by Shulishi, says the Pasuk, right before Shulishi, Vayishulchenu akim lefneichem, losum lachem she'eris ba'aretz, ulahacheis lachem lefreita gedayla. Yosef tells him, don't worry. You sent me, you thought it would be bad, everything turned out good, Hashem sent you here, that I should save you, and I should have food in Mitzrayim. Pasuk, hey, va'ata, alti otzful, don't be depressed, don't be sad, vayiche beinechem, and don't be angry, ki mechartem oisihen, you sold me, ki gomichya, Shulachani Lakim, Hashem sent Lufneichem, Hashem sent me before you to be for you, to give you food. The Medrash brings down, Yosef said, if you look what happened to the Yidden in Mitzrayim, the Yidden remained steadfast in Mitzrayim. Of all the Yidden in Mitzrayim, they were not nichshal in Znus at all. Shlomis Bas Divri was the only exception to the rule. They were not nichshal in Znus. We find later on in Parshas Pinchas, when the Yichus of the Shvatim, the Torah lists the Yichus, Hashem puts his name, a Yud and a Hey, before and after the name Rishavit, the name Hashem surrounds the Shvatim to show that the Yichus was pure, and they were not nichshal in the Aveira of Znus at all. Mitzrayim was Shtufei Zim, was one of the worst place in the world for Znus. How could it be that after the Yidden were there 210 years, they were not nichshal in Znus? So the Medrash, Ulhachi Yosef Lachem Lefoyta Gedayla. Yosef says, I was sent down here to save you, not only in Gashmias, but in Ruchnias as well. Yosef withstood the Nisoyin of Eishes Potifar. Yosef from last week's parasha had a tremendous Nisoyin with Eishes Potifar of Znus. Yosef was able to overcome the Nisoyin. Yosef ran away. Yosef paved the way for the Yidden of Mitzrayim. So not only did Yosef save the Yidden in Gashmias by bringing them food and ending the years of hunger, but as well in Ruchnias. Yosef paved the way for Mitzrayim. In the truth is, you find the same idea later on in the parasha. By Shishi, the pasuk says, Perek Mem Zayin, Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Chavches, that Yehuda shalach lefanov Goshen. Yehuda is sent down to Goshen first. Before Yaakov goes to Mitzrayim, he sends Yehuda down first. And Rashi tells us, what was the purpose of sending Yehuda down to Goshen first? Says Rashi, to set up a yeshiva, a Beis Hayro. Says Rashi, Mem Vav Chavches, Uhayrus lefanov, says Rashi, Medrash Agada, Lohiris Lufanov, was sacking like Beis Talmud, Shemisham Teitzahira. To set up a yeshiva, from where Torah, Psak should come out. Before Yaakov went down, he already wanted to establish a Mokum Torah in Mitzrayim. The way the Golas starts off, the way it begins is how the Golas develops, how we are in the Golas. The Golas starts off with Kedusha, with Tahara, Torah, then the Golas remains, we remain Kaddish in the Golas. If the Golas starts off the other way around, it's a much more difficult Golas in Ruchnius. So Yosef paved the way, the Yetzirah, the Arayis, Yehuda, Yaakov sends down to set up a yeshiva, and that's why the Yidden were able to remain who they were all the years they were in Mitzrayim. The Shira Kaddish writes, when a person builds a house, you should first worry about the Ruchnius aspects before the Gashmius. Take care of the Ruchnius, and the Zuzah, whatever it might be, the Ruchnius, and then worry about the Gashmius. Because whatever you hear about first, that sets the way. If you care about the Ruchnius, the house becomes a house of Ruchnius, a house of Kedusha. Not only Mitzrayim, but wherever a person goes, it goes after the beginning, how a person starts off, and if it starts off for Kedusha, we're able to overcome it. Yosef says, Ki l'michya shilachani l'kim l'fnechem. Hashem sent me l'michya to be life, to give you food. The Al-Shech HaKadosh writes a lesson for us all, that sometimes things seem to be bad, seem to be the end of the world, and look what happens. Yosef ends up saving everybody with being sold down to Mitzrayim. So what we thought was bad ends up being not bad, but just the opposite. Ends up being the salvation of Klal Yisrael, saves us. Duno Magid has a nice marshal, which we said over, but the point is very important. The king acquires a priceless gem, a diamond, priceless, nice, big, beautiful, and the king is admiring the diamond, and he notices one slight flaw, one scratch on the diamond. And the king is tremendously troubled by one scratch on the diamond. And he calls in the jewelers, and he says to them, is there anything you could possibly do to remove the flaw from the diamond? And each jeweler takes the diamond, and they examine it, and they look at it from all angles, and different lights, and each one says, there's nothing we could do. This flaw is in the diamond, and if we're going to try to start removing it, it's going to ruin the diamond. You have to accept the diamond as is. And the king is determined not to give up. He's going to find a way to remove that flaw. And he keeps on letting jewelers come and look at the diamond. And one day a jeweler comes and he says to the king, I have an eitzah for you. I have a way to save your diamond. What we can do is we can make a design on the diamond. If we make a design on the diamond, if we start with that flaw as being the beginning of the design, and we build the design around it, it will be as part of the design, and nobody will notice that it was a flaw in the diamond. It will look like it's part of the design of the diamond. And the king gives him permission to do so, takes the diamond, and he starts with the flaw, and he draws, etches out around it, and it makes a beautiful design on the diamond, and nobody could tell that once upon a time there was a scratch on the diamond. It all becomes part of the design. The diamond is even prettier and beautiful more than it was before. So to the Lumagid, sometimes you have those flaws in life. You have the scratches in life. And you don't know how it's going to be. And whatever you try, you can't remove it. It's there. You can't take it out. Sometimes it's there. And fakem, the etzah is, take that flaw that you have, take that scratch that you have, and work with it. Build around it. Work with it. Take it, and from there a person can grow. Many times a person has a situation, and the reaction is, why me? How come? Sometimes it's there for us to grow from. A person grows. If life would remain the same, and everything would go smooth every day, there's no growth. It would be the same. Malachim are called Oimdim. Malachim are called Oimdim. They stand in one place. People are called Malachim. We rise, we go up, we go down. The science of the Russian of Nes, of elevating, being lifted up. The only way a person grows is from the Nesyonis that he has. Take the flaw that we have, take the scratches that we have, build around it, work with it, and overcome them, and a person could turn them around. And sometimes the change is so dramatic, it was in this week's parasha, that Yosef changes his whole situation to save Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says, later on, the Torah lists off all the 70 Nefashos that came down to Mitzrayim. All the 70 Yidden that entered Mitzrayim. And the Pasuk tells us in Memvav Chavav, Kol Nefesh, Habor Yaakov Mitzrayim, Mo Yoytze Yerechoi, all the people that came with Yaakov Mitzrayim, besides for the wives of Bnei Yaakov, Kol Nefesh, Shishim V'Shesh. And Rashi tells us, why does the Pasuk use a Lashon Yochid? Kol HaNefesh. 66 people? 70 people. Why is it HaNefesh? Should have said Nefashos. And Rashi brings down the famous Medrash, Vayikra Rabbah, Esav, Sheish Nefashos Hayoloi. Esav, the Pasuk mentions six people. And yet it says, Nafshoy Spesoi. In Parshas Vayishlach, Amun Vav, Pasuk Vav, it says six people, and the Pasuk calls it Nafshoy Spesoi, Lashon Rabbim. Yaakov has 66 people, with Yosef and his and Mitzrayim, there's altogether 70, and the Pasuk calls them Nefesh. Why by Esav are they called Nafshois? And Yaakov's called Nefesh? Because by Esav they served many gods, many Avodah Zarah. Each one had his own Avodah Zarah, so there were many Nefashois. But Klal Yisrael serves with Kel Echad, one Hashem, so therefore they're called Nefesh, and they're all called one. Could be I said this over. There was a Yid, Baliel Zakaim, who was in Branovich. Rabbi Chana has yeshiva in Branovich, Ayol Taira. And he came in once in Chastaira, and he said over the following vort. Maybe he's a little bit shicker. And he said, and he said, you think I'm a Baal Boss. I don't sit and learn as much as everybody here does. You might think I'm a Baal Boss. But I want to tell you over a vort that I said to Chavetz Chaim. And Chavetz Chaim said that he had Hanoah from the vort. Let me tell you over the vort that I said to Chavetz Chaim. And he said the following vort. When you say the bracha of Bayer Nefashlis, let's go to the bracha of Bayer Nefashlis. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Bayer Nefashlis Rabbis, Lashon Rabbim. Created many Nefashlis. The rabbis chesvani, there are many chesvaniyos. I call Mashavaro. Lahachiyos behem nefesh kochay. Why not nefashos? We're speaking Lashon Rabbim. Why the change from nefashos to nefesh? And he said, I told the Chofetz Chaim, Bar nefashos rabbis. Hashem created many nefashos. Hashem created the world. The world has all different nations, goyim in the world. They all worship their own avodah zarah. They all worship their own gods. The nefashos rabbis. What's the whole purpose of all the goyim in the world? Why are they here? You know why they're here? To enable us to live, to serve Klal Yisrael, to serve us that are nefesh kochai. We're one. We're a nefesh. We serve Hashem echad. So Hashem created many nefeshos, the goyim that are many, nefesh kochai, in order to give us life, to help out nefesh kochai, to help out Bnei Yisrael. That's one. That's nefesh. And we know Klal Yisrael is always like that. Whatever happens to one yid in one corner of the world affects yidin all over the world. The goyim are not connected. One guy has nothing to do with the next guy, but the yidin are all connected because we're all oved. We'll always serve Hashem echad. Kaisra is the kayach of kish echad b'leiv echad, and that's why we call nefesh instead of being called nefashos. Next part I said over many times, but it always brings, the lesson is powerful and it always brings a smile. The Pasuk says, right by Shvi, Yaakov finally comes and he meets Paroi. He meets Paroi after all this time, Paroi is eager to meet Yaakov. And the Pasuk tells us, right before Shvi, in Pasuk, in Perik Mem Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Yosef brings Yaakov to Paroi, Yaakov gives a bracha to Paroi, Pasuk Ches, Vayoymer, Paroi, El Yaakov, Kamo Yimei Shnei Chayach. Paroi says to Yaakov, how old are you? How old are you? Pasuk Tes, Vayoymer Yaakov, Paroi, Yaakov answers Paroi, Yimei Shnei Megurai, Shoishim Uma'as Shana. I'm 130 years old. Ma'at v'royim ha'yu yimei shnei chayach. I had a bit of life. My years are few. They were bad. I had a bit of life. V'lo yisigu es yimei shnei chayach avoisai b'mei migureim. I did not reach my father's age. So says the pasuk. Famous Das Ken Rivali Toisvis, which you take a look at it inside. Pshat. Why does Yaakov, why Paro ask Yaakov how old he is? You ever go to a gadol? How old are you? You meet a choshviyid. How old are you? First question. How old are you? Lafi sheruhu zokimoid, because Yaakov looked very old. The Cyrus roishon is kind of avonis. His hair, his beard was white. Rev hazikla from old age. Shaul came. That's why Paro asked. For who or no? And Yaakov answered, Yimei shnei megurai shroishim umas shono ma'at v'royim. I had a bitter life. Ma'atim hem shnei. I said, really? I'm young. I'm only a young 130. But Metoich Rois Shayoli, because of all the bitterness and the bad events that happened, Kofsalai's Kena, old age jumped on me. Zokta Medrish, when Yaakov said, Mat Varoim, Hashem said, I saved you from Esav. I saved you from Lavan. I gave you back Dina. I gave you back Yosef. And you're complaining your life is bitter? You had a bad life? Chayecha, Rosh Meshvua, that the number of words, starting from the Pasuk, Vayoyme Parel Yaakov, until the end of the pasuk, "Mimei Migureihem," will be taken away from your life. Yaakov died. How old was he? Yaakov died at 147. His father Yitzchak lived till 180. Yaakov really should have lived as long as Yitzchak did, 180. He died 33 years earlier. Why 33 years earlier? So the Medrash, because he complained about his bitter life, starting from pasuk Ches v'yemei Paroi El Yaakov. Until the Mamie Graham, the end of Pasuk test, 33 words. The Kashan Teretz, I have Hashem Racham Shalas, it's said over Mashem others as well, and the question is, why did Yaakov lose 33 years of his life? If you look at the Psukim, that includes Paroi's question. It should have, Yaakov should only be punished for his answer, not for Paroi's question. Pasuk Ches and test together, which is Paroi's question, and Yaakov's answer, together add up to 33 words. Yaakov is punished for Paroi's question? He shouldn't have punished for Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Yaakov Paroi, I had a bit of life. Not for Paroi asking him how old you are. Why was he punished for asking for Paroi's question? Oh, says Rav Chaim Mishulam, it's because Yaakov let the tzaras affect him to the extent that one who looked at Yaakov saw that he had a bit of life. Yaakov shouldn't have let all the bitter events that happened in his life, all the tzaras that happened, affect him that he looked so old, he looked so worn out, he looked so bitter because of what happened. The fact that he let it happen to himself, perhaps a lack in his bitachin, however we want to understand it, and Yaakov let it happen to itself, it was so noticeable, that even the guy Paroi saw it right away, that he had to ask him, how old you are, for that also Yaakov was punished. And therefore Yaakov was punished 33 years, for each word in the pasuk, including Yaakov's question. Just a note for the story of the Shagas Aryeh, which we said over, but the story is, the Shagas Aryeh also had a very hard life. And at the age of 70, he had to leave the city that he was in when he was the Rav, because people raided him and he had to leave. He applied for a position to be the Rav in the city of Metz in Germany at the age of 70. He came, Shabbos Parshas Vayigash to Metz, and he had to speak that Shabbos. When he came into the city, he comes to the shul for Shabbos, he heard the people murmuring already under their breath, look at this, it's an old man, we don't want an old rabbi, he's 70 years old, we need young blood, we don't want a 70-year-old rabbi. So Shagasari got up to speak, and he said the following, Paroi Yaakov, how old are you? Chutzpah Paroi has. You meet Yaakov. He knows the reputation of Yaakov is. Yaakov's his father. He sees Yaakov as a holy man. Parai Yaakov in Mabrocha, the needle is still hung to stop, the water rolls. He knows Yaakov's a holy man. Chutzpah, how old are you? And what does Yaakov answer Paroi? I'm 130, I had a bitter life. Who is Yaakov for a biography of his life? Answer the question. How old are you? 130? Why did Yaakov give him a whole speech? It was bitter. And Yaakov adds on, I'm not as old as my father is. What's the answer in Parah? Parah, yes, from how old you are. Answer straight to the point, 130. So the Shagas Aryeh, Parah sees Yaakov stinging from him. He realizes that there's a holy man. He realizes this man could save Mitzrayim. The Nilus, the water would start to rise, the hunger would end. The whole future of Mitzrayim depends upon Yaakov being here. Parah wants to meet Yaakov. He goes into a panic. He sees him. Yaakov looks worn out. Looks like he's not going to live too much longer. Parah screams out, how old are you? Yeah. Tell me, do I have time left? Yeah. How long is this bracha going to last? How long? How old are you? What's happening? Yaakov tells Parah,
don't worry,
calm down. I'm young. I'm 130. The reason why I look this way, I had a bitter life. But don't worry, I'm going to live. My father didn't die until 180. I have plenty of time to go. Nothing to worry about. I'll be around for a while. So the Shagas Aryeh, I hear people murmuring, I'm an old man. I'm 70 years old. Who wants an old rabbi 70 years old? I'm young. I'm full of kayach. The only reason I look so is because I had tzaris, people being right with me. I had to leave. I had to start over again at the age of 70. I'm young. I didn't reach the age of my father's. I'm young. And he said, I promise that if you take me as the rav in this town, I will be a rav for 20 years or more. Chachad, and he took him as a rav, and he was nifter over the age of 90. So ends the story with the Shagas Aryeh. But it's a lesson for us. Things happen. Of course it gets to us. But we have to understand that we don't always realize the deeper meaning behind things, why they happen, how they happen. We have to learn that everything comes from Hashem. We have to be mechazik ourselves and our emunah and our bitachon. I just 30 seconds. I just had a Ashkacha Prata story that I'd like to share. Very fair story. I say it many times. Chatzko and Mashkecha Panovich would tell his daughter, "Wait a minute, Chazik. I'm going to be talking by writing down every day a story of Ashkacha Pratis that happened." This way, you see Hashem's hand in all the events that happens. Okay, very 30 seconds left. Very mikitza. I work Mishnayis. Every day I try to learn a little Mishnayis. Sometimes it goes. I had times I was able to learn every day. It stopped. Lately, I was got pushed away to the side, and I stopped learning. I stopped learning Mishnayis. Recently, I just started again. I said, this time I'm starting a Seder, doing a Perek a day, I'm going to be strong about it, and I'm not stopping. Okay, almost. I was pretty good about it. One day I missed. Okay, I was pretty good about it. And then the Mamashi yesterday said to myself, you know what, I really don't have time for it, and is it worthwhile, is it not? I got an email yesterday. It was an email that the Mir Yerushalayim, they had a Seder Mishnayis. Somebody sponsored a Chabura running Mishnayis, and they made a sin. By the sin, the one who sponsored the Chabura said the following story. He said over that when the Atta from Sobotka was Nifter, he came to his son, Rabbi Eliezer Yudel Finkel, the Mir Roshiv, he came to Rabbi Eliezer Yudel, and he said to him in a dream, Shikmir Pekloch, send me packages. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer Yudel. The next night, the same dream. Shikmer Pekloch. Three times he has a dream, send me packages. Didn't know what packages mean. What should he do for his father? So he sends somebody to the Chofetz Chaim to ask the Chofetz Chaim what packages mean. What the Shikmer Pekloch, what the packages are. Rav Ruderman, Rashid and Eris Rose, that's how said, over it's well known that the last 10 years of Chofetz Chaim's life, he had Ruach HaKadosh. It was well known he was able to answer people's questions even before they asked it. People come to Chofetz Chaim, he would take one look, and he was able, even without looking, he could answer the question without the question being asked. And so many stories are told over. People went to Chofetz Chaim, and they had their answer without even asking. And Rabbi Eliezer Yudel's Shliach, the one that he sent, comes into the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, by the way, was able to walk in. It wasn't like today with a gabbai and a shamus and appointments. He just walked into Chofetz Chaim's house. It was open. He walked in. Chofetz Chaim takes one look and he says to him, Sanhedrin Membeis, the Gemara says, Chavilois Eilu Mishnayis. Chavilois Amishnayis, Pekloch Amishnayis. He had his answer right away. He went back to the Blazing Yudel, and he said, Blazing Yudel took himself to learn a Perek Mishnayis every day for the rest of his life. Okay, so I got my chizik from there, I got my message, and that's it. This is from Ashkacha Pratis. Kadosh Baruch Hu should strengthen us all. We should all be able to chazik on Amunah and Bitochen. Thank you.